With the AI, you know, with the artificial intelligence, you know, with the computers nowadays, a lot of times what they doing, what sets are doing now, because they need so many, you know, background people and that type of thing, will get you all done up for the scene. And they'll put you in this booth, and it takes the pictures all around you. So they digitize your likeness, your body, everything,
mm-hmm.
and replicate it as many times as they want. And so mm-hmm. they can place them into these, when you have like big scenes of like thousands of people, and that's how they do that. So they can take like 100 people and make it look like 10 million people.
Mm.
So that's what the studios are doing. So they put those dots and they can create what they want around you.
That is crazy. I didn't know that it extended to the extras.
Yeah, they wasn't paying. So that way they don't have to pay the extras. You know, they don't have to get as many extras to pay them for those hours that they would be there.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I have the pleasure of welcoming Greg Bazemore, Emmy Award-winning celebrity hairstylist, to the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. We're going to dive into some fun conversation in a second, but I think we need to start off with some icebreakers to get us warmed up, you know, shake off the jitters. The Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do professionally. So, first one, just give us three random facts about you.
I like to cook. I like to travel. And I like to sew.
Oh, you like the sew too? Okay, so first of all, what's your go-to dish that everybody raves about?
Barbecue ribs.
Okay, barbecue. I know people take their barbecue serious, so if you doing barbecue ribs good, that means you can cook for real.
Yeah.
Do you be on the grill?
On the grill and oven. I just the main thing is like, you know, slow and low and making your own barbecue sauce.
I like that, slow and low. That, I feel like that needs to be like a Grill Master's shirt. I like that. Okay, and you sew as well, like full-on outfits?
Yeah, full-on outfits. But right now, I've been doing leather goods. So I went from making clothes to now like doing leather bags and leather items.
Got you. I saw that on your page, the Aquarius thing.
Yeah.
Was that like a leather patch or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I saw somebody comment say, I thought it was a cookie too. I got excited because I'm an Aquarius. So I was like, ooh, a cookie.
No, just another earring patch.
Okay. Are you an Aquarius?
No, Pisces.
Okay. Say no more. Look, do you have any guilty pleasures right now?
Eating.
Mm-hmm. It's that time of year too. I feel like this is the time people eat more, like especially with the holidays coming up and stuff.
I like savory, so.
Okay,
yeah.
Say that again.
I'm not too big on sweets, but I love the savory.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I literally have to be in the mood for sweets, but I can eat food, like, anytime. Like, give me some food.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Well, I have these random set of cards here called pod decks. They have these random questions in it. One is a would you rather. This is the would you rather and a what the heck. Which one do you want?
What the heck?
Okay. Let's give Greta Greg card.
Questions.
Hmm.
Which one get the best questions? It could be random then.
They both be random and crazy. Okay. I have an answer to this question myself. What's the longest you've ever waited in line for something and what was it?
iPhone.
The iPhone. Is this like when they first came out?
I think like the, no, I didn't buy it when it first came out. I think I was like the third generation and I stood in line for about 4 hours.
What for an iPhone? Imagine.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mine is I stood in line for like, was it 3 hours? I don't know if it was 3 hours, but it was a very long time for a slutty vegan burger.
Oh, wow.
But it was worth it.
Okay.
It was worth it. It's part of the experience.
I don't think I would have stood in line that long for it.
It's just a support. It's like a part of the experience to stand in line, but like they treat you so good when you get in there and the food is so good that it was like, okay, it wasn't like if the food was trash, you'd be like, I just stood in line for 3 hours. No,
Wow.
but it was good. Yeah.
Good.
What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
I would say cooking.
Okay. Stamp, so you could be a chef in your next life.
Yeah, I you know, earlier on, I did go to culinary for a little bit.
Makes sense. Okay.
A passion for cooking. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. When is the last time you did something for the first time?
Yesterday.
What was that?
Talking in front of an audience without.
Really?
I don't like talking in front of audiences. Yeah.
Okay. That was your first time doing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the time I might go up in a group or something, but never had to like, it's been a very, if I did, it was a very long time. I remember I was in a play and I was supposed to be a tree. So I didn't even have to talk. And I would, so.
I like that. That's so cute. Okay. So the last one, kind of have an idea, but if you weren't a hairstylist, is there anything else you could see yourself doing right now?
I've been to computers.
Okay. Doing what? Like programming or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I wanted to be a hacker at one point.
Yeah, I was more on the engineer side, like building.
I wanted to either program it or hacker. You know, a good hacker, though, for the good, not for evil.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for sharing. So let's go back to yesterday because I was there. So you just received an award from the beauty industry community, the Beauty Industry Community Awards, aka BICA DMV. They had their first award ceremony here in the DMV area yesterday. You got an award and you said you were, you know, this is your first time speaking in front of a crowd.
Yes. Well, of a crowd of my peers. Yes. Years, yeah. I don't usually like crowds. It's just like, let me create and do that part. And I'm not big on social media or any of that. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Like, the podcasts and interviews and stuff is like still getting used to doing that. Yeah.
Stretch you.
Yeah.
And that makes so much sense because after you finish, Arnetta was like, wait a minute, Greg is being way too humble. Okay, come back up here. Let me flex for you real quick.
Right. Right.
I love that. Because I feel like a lot of creatives aren't like extroverts or anything like that. We're not, most of us aren't extroverts. I don't consider myself an extrovert. I kind of go like in between.
Right.
Like I can turn it on, I can turn it off. But it makes a lot of sense, and I'm glad I'm having this conversation with you because I feel like in the industry that we are in, a lot of people, especially with social media now, people expect us to be extroverted. And I always used to feel, I'm a makeup artist, so I've been doing makeup for 10 years. And when I first started, the people that I saw that were successful, that I admired, all had like these big personalities. And I always felt like, well, I mean, and I have personality, but I'm not the person that you'll notice because I'm the most vibrant in the room. You're probably like, oh, she's chill. Let me go talk to her. So I always used to feel like, dang, if I don't have a big personality like that, I'm not going to be successful. Like, it's going to be hard for me to be successful if I don't, you know, light up the room.
Right.
You know, what is going on? Oh, sorry. My screen just like went out. I was like, wait. Yeah, but I always used to like feel like that. So I'm glad I'm talking to you today because you have a lot of success, but you're still, you know, quiet. You stay to yourself. You create. You get the job done. And you collect your check and you go home.
Right. But you know, it was funny because when I first started, a lot of people didn't believe I did hair. So they was like, "Oh, you don't look like hairstyles." I'm like, you know, what does a hairstylist look like? You mm-hmm. know, they want someone that's over the top and, you know, boisterous, and I'm like, that's not me. So,
yeah.
So I guess show for itself.
Absolutely. What was the award for yesterday?
Innovation.
Innovation. Okay. That's an amazing award to receive in this industry, because I feel like it's hard to be innovative sometimes with all of the noise that we have around us that can influence our creativity.
Right. But, you know, because I was into architecture, like, before I started doing hair, so I kind of, like, gauge my design elements off of that same principle. Mm-hmm. So taking shape, you know, space and all that, and applying it and seeing. So I see angles and I see shapes and all those types of things when I'm doing, how you doing? When I'm doing designing.
Yeah, I could see that. I was peeking on your page. You just did something recently. What was the show that you worked on? They looked like aliens or something like that. And the hair was like really like.
It was, that was Legendary. The first season of Legendary, yeah.
Yeah, how was that experience for you creating those looks?
It was great. It was great because we had, it was funny because it moved so fast, because like normally in regular TV, you know, you have time to set things up, you know, and because it wasn't scripted, you know, they have the show, they actually had categories, but the contestants didn't know what each category was until the next day.
Ooh, you gotta be on your toes.
Right. So, and they only gave us 2 days to prepare for the next episode. So we filmed every 3 days. Wow. So like the show may end at 11 o'clock at night when we filmed it. So the next morning, like by 8 o'clock, they were going through each contestant, like each group, because we had, I think it was 8 or 9 groups. So mm-hmm. we had 5 contestants in each group. So they had to come up with their concept, and then we had to consult with costumes, makeup, and hair on what they wanted for their looks. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like us deciding, we had to take what their ideas were and put them into action. So that was because they would come up with hair colors. They wanted to do bald heads and mm-hmm. prosthetic pieces. So it was a lot of creating bald heads and, you know, doing all those types of things for each contestant.
That is crazy. Where was the show shot?
Connecticut.
Connecticut. Okay. How long were you there?
For a month and a half.
What? So were you able to, like, you just had to completely stop, like, your business as a whole and stay there for a month and a half, or did you go back and forth?
Sometimes we had, like, 2 days off or 3 days off. I would travel back to D.C., but most time when I'm shooting, like, on set or, like, during a production, I only do clients now. Like, for the past, like, 5 years, I only work on the weekends.
I love that. Okay. So you're a part of the union?
Yeah. 798. Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been a part of the union?
Oh, gosh. I would say it's been about 12 years now.
What? So do you even remember the requirements? Are the requirements the same for makeup and hair? Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The days that you have to do on a production, and that you're a paid production, and then you have to sit in front, you have to submit a portfolio, and then it goes up for review, and then you're invited to an interview process, and then you sit in front of a panel, and then they interview you on a panel, and then they get a letter, send you a letter saying if you've been accepted or not, and then you pay your money, and then you start working.
Is the money a one-time thing or continuous?
No, it's one time, but then you pay, you know, yearly dues.
Okay.
But initial, you know, great amount is not that anymore.
Gotcha. And then,
but the great part about it is, you know, it's a little bit different than if you're working in a booth rental salon or a commission salon, because we do earn retirement, you know, benefits, pension, you know, all those types of things. And the pay is pretty good. You know, we get yearly increases depending on, you know, what the union, the contract stipulates for that. So there's some good perks with it.
I'm considering it. At one point, I was trying to pursue it, but it was just so hard to stay organized on all of the things that they wanted, like the call sheets in order and the resume. And
yeah, the resume is the easy part, but keeping all your pay stubs together and your call sheet. And just, I tell people, if you get those, just like you get the call sheets in the email, so just save them.
Mm-hmm.
Your pay stubs, just make copies of them. And then that way you have everything, you keep them in a folder, you have everything you need.
Reference
letters.
Say that again.
Your reference letters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody that like went up for the union, did the interview and all of that stuff and didn't get in? What? What are they looking for in this interview? I'm scared now.
I'm not. Hey, I have a serious question for you. You trust me, right? Yes? I heard you say yes, right? You heard them say yes, right? Okay, listen. If you said yes and you have a product or service-based business that you want to expose to a loyal and engaged audience, then consider letting me share your business here on the Friends of Beauty podcast. Studies have shown that podcast listeners tend to trust the host, making the advertising messages more authentic and credible. And my favorite part, which a lot of people don't know, is the longevity. Unlike traditional ads that have a limited lifespan and disappear after your budget has been exhausted, my podcast episodes are available indefinitely. This means that your ad will continue to reach new listeners long after the initial episode airs. And you already know my consistency is off the chain. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And as the Friends of Beauty podcast continues to grow, your brand will continue to reach a new audience. That's how it works here. So don't wait any longer. I want to expose your brand to my friends in beauty. All you have to do is click the link below with all of the details and we can make it happen. Anyways, let's go ahead and get back to the episode.
Sure, you know, just how you're, I don't know, I've never sat on a panel. I've never sat on a panel. I've been asked to, but I've never sat on a panel. I know this one young lady I met when I went up, she was from Atlanta, and she said that was her second or third time going. She was for makeup. Yes, I don't know what they were looking for.
Ooh, dang. Now I need to talk to somebody from the union to make sure when my people go up, they are on point. Because right. Who got time to be trying out three times? That's right. Wow.
It's nerve-wracking to sit in front of a panel with people that's been in the business for years, you know. And like all of my experience was in theater. So I never did TV or film, but the one lady, because they asked me, do you know how to read a call sheet? And so I never did TV before, so I didn't know how to read a call sheet. And so the other gentleman that was on the panel said, well, if he did theater, it's an easier transition, because people that do theater usually can transition into TV, but TV can't transition into theater.
Hmm. Well, luckily I've done a little bit of both, so they can't try to...
Yeah. Theater is on. For makeup, most of the actors end up doing their own unless it's a caricature. But if you're like, if you're on an opera or something, they usually get their makeup done. But TV is where you would do more of your, I know you have to do prosthetics. You have to be able to do all of those types of things, you know, scars and all that. I know you have to do that for makeup.
Wow. We'll see.
So it's definitely not just beauty.
Yeah, I know, because you got to do bald caps, you got to do period makeup, and like you said, prosthetics, hair, like mustaches and all of that stuff.
Yeah, y'all do all of the mustaches and the sideburns. So hair, we do everything up. Y'all do everything else. Dang. Just that, even the fingernails.
Huh?
Yeah.
Who got to do fingernails?
Makeup. Y'all have to do, like, y'all got to have polish removal, polish your nails and all that stuff. But
I did not know that.
They have a specialty, like when we worked on Ghosts, they had a nail tech come in and do like those like designs and stuff, but if it was basic, then they had the makeup artist do that.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. I mean, I wear press-ons. I would bring some press-ons for them to wear. And I'd be doing my Gel-X nails at home. So I could polish somebody's nails. That's no big deal. That's good to know, though. I never heard anybody mention the nails before. That's good to know. So let's talk about this Emmy, because when Arnetta called you back, she's like, wait a minute, y'all. This man has an Emmy, okay? Like, let's talk about it. When did you get the Emmy and what was it for?
2001, and it was for Pose, for the television show Pose on FX.
Okay.
Yeah, we were nominated 3 years in a row and won the last year.
Wow. You said 2001?
One.
Was that 2001? What show am I thinking about? Which Pose?
Pose with Billy Porter and Blanca and Electra.
Did that come out in 2000? No.
Came out before, I think it was first year was 2019. No, 2018.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
You
was
said
like
2001. I was like, what?
the 85.
Got you. So you were a hairstylist on Pose, which led you to receiving an Emmy.
Yeah, it was a group of us that were on that. So the whole team, the main core team, we all received the Emmy for that.
That's so cool. I did used to watch that show. So that's really cool to know somebody that worked on set. Like, what was I guess the energy or like the behind the scenes culture like on set of Pose?
That set, well, I would say, was the best set I've ever worked on. It was like because it was a community of all types of people, all races. It taught me a lot about, non-binary because I never knew what that was until I worked on that production. And so it was about unity, family, and everybody had a story, So it was like going to a party every day. You didn't want to miss a day, like the energy, like they were long hours, 14, 16-hour days, but we were never tired at the end of the day. It was just like everybody was loving and support of each other. And normally in those types of productions, you don't have unity amongst departments because like sometimes the hair department would just stay within their group.
Got
Wardrobe would stay in their group, but we were all like family. So if one person saw one thing, it was like, hey, go check this out because, so we didn't like throw each other under the bus. It was like a big family. We were all like as one. Hair, makeup, wardrobe was all one.
I love that. And I totally understand what you mean about people being separate. And I really encourage people that when they get on set to mingle with everybody, even outside of the glam department, get to know the producers and even the people that's bringing the snacks.
Yeah, the glam department is always when we always get the slack because they say, the pretty people don't have much work to do, but we do a lot of work beforehand.
We have lots of work to do, okay? We work hard. And then the continuity thing like is serious. So
Exactly.
yeah, man. So I know that you refer to yourself as celebrity hairstylist.
Really refer. I don't refer to myself as to celebrity. Now, I don't really get into that. It's just, I think it's overrated because so many people that aren't like you could do one celebrity and they consider yourself a celebrity style. And like that's
I'm glad you said that because I was gonna ask you like when can somebody use that title? Because I'm the same way. I have friends that like if I go out with them, they're like, oh, she's a celebrity makeup artist. And I like low key like cringe. I'm like, because
right.
I don't refer to myself as such because celebrities aren't like my main clientele. Yes, I have worked with celebrities, but I don't go around and be like, yes, I'm a celebrity makeup artist. Like, when do you think someone could use that title?
I would say someone like Derek because that's all they do are celebrities. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's like when you're a personal, most of the time, I would say that's when you really, people that are personals out. I have a friend, she does Mary, and I had another friend that he did Mary's makeup. So I would say because they, basically do personal work that they could say that. I mean, I've done personal work too, but I still don't, call myself a celebrity stylist. I do celebrities all the time, but it's like, I think it's more overrated than anything. More overrated because it's like, I can work on celebrities every day of the week, but it's still like they're only with you as long as they and you're doing that project. And then, so if somebody just do one celebrity, does that really constitute them as being a celebrity stylist?
I don't think so. And then I also feel like in this day and age, it's kind of a thin line between what people consider a celebrity or not. Because I work with like reality TV stars and stuff, and I'm like, they're like, oh, you're a celebrity. I'm like, do you consider, I mean, it depends on what you consider a celebrity, because if that is a celebrity, then yes, I am a celebrity makeup artist, but like, I don't consider them celebrities for real.
Right, because they're on TV, so I think that makes people, you know, celebrity stylist status. Yeah. So I guess I could call myself a celebrity stylist, but yeah. Unless I'm collecting a celebrity check on a regular, then look, that's what makes you the real celebrity. Look, we should be the celebrities, right?
We should, and low-key, we kind of are, like, in our own spaces, you know?
Right.
Like, when you see people like Derek in the room, like, right. I was like, when I saw him walk in, I was low-key like, oh, like, oh my God. And I've seen him a few times in person, but I don't think I've ever like talked to him before. So I had the opportunity to like speak with him yesterday and, you know, shoot my shot so he can come on the podcast and stuff. But like in our own worlds, I guess we are celebrities to, you know, some people like Sam Fine and, you know, people like that, Oscar James, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from DC originally.
DC proper.
DC proper, yep. Raised in DC, born at Howard University Hospital.
Okay, which area did you grow up in?
I grew up in more southern Maryland, like okay. By Air Force Base area.
Got you. So you went to high school in Maryland too?
Mm-hmm.
So you went where?
The Crossing High School.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, I'm from DC too. DC proper. That's why I had to ask, because you know people. Maybe in Virginia somewhere saying they from DC. Like, cut it out.
The Dudleys for beauty school.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was there with Alfred Dudley. I was there. Yeah. We used to go to and all that. So I had the whole Dudley's experience.
That is so great. I remember growing up, I wanted to be a hairstylist. So I wanted to go to Dudley's at one point. And then I ended up going, I don't even know why, because I met Mr. Dudley when I was younger. Actually, I was in the hair salon getting my hair done and he was dropping off products. And I got the chance to talk to him at that time. And I think he invited me to come to the school. But for some reason, I went to Bennett. Oh, because I didn't do hair. That's what it was. I ended up doing makeup. That's why I went to Bennett.
Symposiums and stuff, right?
Yeah. The symposiums used to be great. I used to love those. I got the chance to assist. And then after that, my career kind of just took off after that, for real, for real. How long have you been doing hair?
I got my license in 96.
Okay.
So, and 27, 28 years.
And you look 27, 28. How? Got some explaining to do.
No drinking, no smoking.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Clean lifestyle.
Yeah, clean lifestyle. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, and it's funny because of friends, you know, they say, you know, come on, let's go to this party, let's do that. And I was like, I've never gone out. So I missed out on a lot of social events because mm-hmm. I don't like to go out like days when I have to work the next day or like have a drink, and I'm still not a big drinker or a smoker. So
mm-hmm.
I would be the one that will always be the designated driver.
We need those though. You still serve a role.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, and then I taught for a little while, taught at Dudley's for a little while, and then I taught at PG County Schools for cosmetology. So, but teaching is a passion, but not the ultimate, because it does not pay. Teachers are so underpaid in this profession, you know. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, I used to teach for a little bit at Bennett as well. I was teaching the makeup artistry program, and I haven't been there since like right before COVID.
Okay.
So when they saw me yesterday, I totally forgot I changed my number, for real. Miss Bennett was like, "Did you change your number?" And I was like, "No." And I was like, "Oh shoot, I did change my number." She's like, "I thought you were trying to ignore us or something." I was like, "You gotta email me too," but I had to give her my new number.
Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to start their makeup course again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but it's been, I've had a, a good journey. And right now, in the process now, went going back to school because of the strike and everything. So we haven't worked since May. So I'm like, had to find something to do with myself. So I enrolled and back in school to get my barbering license now. So,
okay, that's good.
After 30 years of rolling hair, it's like I want to do something different with myself, and I just want to do men's cuts.
That's exciting. Barbers make a lot of money. Shoot.
Yeah. Well, not as much as stylists do, but they can get it. Yeah, they can get it.
Yeah, that's great that you're adding that skill.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my new venture now.
So doing haircuts and stuff is not a requirement for the union for hairstylists?
Yes, right. And what it is now that there are a lot of, because there's so many Black men and men getting their haircuts and they want to have professional barbers cut their hair. And that's why I decided to go, because, you know, I didn't, when I was on polls, I did a lot of the men's cuts on there, but now when you have some of these other shows, they say they want licensed barbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to add that to my portfolio, so that way I wouldn't be turned away from applying or one of those jobs came available.
Yeah. Do you know where they are right now? Like, as of right now, what is this? Late October 2023. Where are they with the decision with the strike and everything?
The writers came to an agreement. They're still waiting on the actors to come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, like usually this time of the year, we're like everybody's about to go on hiatus for the holidays. So they say they may be coming close to an agreement, but
if not, then it would have to be after the holiday.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So what exactly is the problem?
With the AI, you know, with the artificial intelligence, you know, with the computers nowadays, a lot of times what they doing, what the sets are doing now, because they need so many, you know, background people and that type of thing. So what they're doing is we'll get, like, let's say you're an extra. We'll get you all done up for this scene, and they'll put you in this booth, and it takes the pictures all around you. So they digitize your likeness, your body, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they can replicate it as many times as they want. And so mm-hmm. they can place them into these, when you have like big scenes of like thousands of people, and that's how they do that. So they can take like 100 people, make it look like 10 million people.
Mm.
So that's what the studios are doing. So if they can do that, and they can move your body, just like, you know, when they put the little dots, when they do like that,
like animation,
not the mass single, but the other one when they had the people that was in the back and their animation would come out and they would sing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that. So they put those dots and they can create what they want around you.
That is crazy. I didn't know that it extended to the extras.
Yeah, they wasn't paying. So that way they don't have to pay the extras. You know, they don't have to get as many extras to pay them for those hours that they would be there.
Right, because I heard that they were trying to do that with the actors as well, like be able to recreate their image. And I had literally just watched an episode of Black Mirror like 2 weeks before I heard that. And I was like, this was just on Black Mirror. Have you seen that?
When it first came out, I watched it since.
They literally have an episode of Black Mirror that depicts them using like celebrity AI and creating like a whole different narrative and show. And then the celebrities get upset, like, this is not what I agreed to.
Because they use
my likeness.
Even like with the writers, they have the AI that you tell the computer what you want and it will write the whole script. So mm-hmm. it was things that they were using the computer for that would. And then, like, too, you know, with the streaming networks, the actors don't get a portion of that money. So it was like a lot of those little things that the companies are making billions of dollars, and the actors are only getting a very small portion of it.
Wow. So they're just trying to reach an agreement where everybody could be happy. And in the midst of that, y'all, everybody in our industry and, you know, producers and all that is on pause while they make that decision.
Right. But they still, the networks are still, productions are, they're still making their money. The networks are still making because of the streaming now.
Wow. This is crazy. Like, just as the world continues to evolve, like, it's just going to be more and more things to continue to strike about.
Right. So that's what I say, you know, it's, you know, it's always good to have something else to fall back on. So
That's good.
Like, that a lot of my friends that make up, they don't have that flexibility, you know, because like most of the styles I know, they either went back in salons to do hair, but and then like some of the makeup artists may be doing commercials still, but it's not enough commercials going around for everybody to eat on a regular basis, you know.
Wow, that's crazy. I definitely have more clarity on what's going on now. That's crazy. Well, I hope they hurry up and do something, because points still need to be made.
Right, so we ain't making no points right now. We just all just sitting at home, just trying to make the best out of, you know.
Dang. Do you have any advice on managing? I mean, I know this is not like financial advice, but just the way that we get paid in the industry, especially when you're working on productions and they do like net 30 sometimes or net 60. Do you have a special way that you kind of like manage your money personally to like stay on top of stuff?
No, because like when you're union, see, we don't get paid like y'all do commercials when they, because I just heard about the net 30. I never worked with net 30, net 60. So I don't know about that, but I know like a lot of times they say like it could take 30 days to get your money. I ain't got 30 days. So like work on production, we get paid every week.
Got you.
So like, and then what I do is for me, I save like 25% of my check on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works. But going back, I might say 50% and just like live on a lower means because of the, you just never know. In the world, this happens again.
Yeah, that's
quickly coming back from COVID and, you know, haven't really recouped from that. And then now this, so it's, yeah. But I would say, yeah. Always have something else to fall back on and try to save as much as you can. But like the farther net 30, next 50, no, it's like you just have to keep working.
Yeah.
Like you can't say, oh, I did this job and can you gotta like do three, have at least three or four jobs in the bag in a week. So that way, you know, you constantly got that money flowing coming in. It's like it's a hustle. You don't just do that one and think you're gonna just sit down. You gotta The checks got to keep coming in. Like you said, you got to eat.
Yeah, absolutely.
No rest for the weary.
No rest. Oh, my gosh.
So I think we work the hardest and don't get any holidays because we always working on holidays and the day before the holiday. So do we really get to enjoy the holiday? No.
Right. Got to worry about waking up the next day. You can't stay out too late and mingle because you got to wake up the next day for a client. I'm stopping to do that. I'm trying to be more intentional about stuff like that too. Even when I go on vacation, like I used to find myself like scheduling somebody the next day after I come back, but I'm like, no, I'm gonna need like at least 2 days to get back to reality. Then I'll schedule people.
Right. Yeah, you have to come up with a balance. I used to work like 6-7 days a week and it's like, you know, it gets tiring after a while. Like, I love what I do, but it's like you realize you miss out so much on life and family. You know, people get older and grow apart, and like you watch your loved ones get older, and it's like, where all the time go? You know, go to this event. I didn't go to that event because, you know, you work so many hours, and at the end of the day, you don't want to see anybody, talk to anybody. You just want to like find a quiet space and just be by yourself. So it's been, for me, it's been a learning journey. And I think that's why now it's like I'm going to just kind of like I've experienced a lot. I've done most things in this industry that can be done. I've done it. So I'm at the point now it's like let's try to find something else to do.
Yeah. Do you think you'll retire one day?
I'm working on that.
I feel like a lot of people I talk to that have been in the industry at least like 20 years or more, it's like they don't have any plans on retiring. They're just going to work until they can't work anymore.
That's not my story. I want to retire by this. I'm 55, so that's what I'm working on. So I got 7 years to go.
Okay. We do the math. Okay. Do you have what you would consider maybe a breakout moment that kind of, what's the word that I want to use, that you kind of rode the momentum to, like, where you are now? Was it like a big moment that happened that, like, things just started happening back to back for you?
Yeah, I would say I worked with the costume designer that was a professor at Howard, and he was my mentor, and I did a fashion show for a friend, like he has like a pageant for a friend, and he asked me to do his hair. He had locks at the time, so every time he would go out, I would just change the style of his locks, and over the costume designer as one of the judges, and he told another friend of his about me, and they called and asked me could I do a show, and he said, you know, they had a celebrity that was coming to town to perform, and they needed someone to do her locks, and the lady ended up going back to California and had her hair done. So then they said, oh, well, she had her hair done, so now we need somebody to do wigs. So I had, I think, 2 or 3 days to get 27 wigs done in style.
Whoa.
I had not worked on wigs at the time or knew how to place wigs on somebody's head or anything. So they sent me up to New York on a train, and I purchased these wigs, came back, styled them all up. And, you know, for the character, so like the costume designer, he sketched out what he wanted, the looks that he wanted for each character. So then I had to go back and create these looks. And it was like all this happened in a matter of 2 days. And then, you know, it was like understanding like timing with production and like theater is so different than TV, but it's all about time, and time is money. So they say your call time is 12 o'clock. Got to be there at 12 o'clock, because then the actors have to get ready, get into wigs, you know, get their makeup done. And so the production doesn't hold up for you if you come to the theater late, excuse me, with the wigs or whatever it is you have. So that was a learning experience. It's not like being in a salon, oh, we can come 20 minutes, 30 minutes late. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, because there's so much more to it than.
It's like all the minutes are accounted for. So.
Is accounted for. Then you got the stage management looking at you like really? You just getting here? Like, calling your phone every 5 minutes, like, you here yet? You here yet? How close are you? You can't even park your car. You know, it's like, so it's like, yeah, it's fast forward, and it's like, but it's all been a learning experience. I would tell anybody getting into this business is totally. Everything they try to teach you in hair school about being on timely and professional is definitely, definitely part of when you get into that next step of professionalism, because it's not just you and the client. It's a whole production that's spending money for every minute. Every minute counted for.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have there been any like crazy fires that you had to put out on set with hair?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's one example of something crazy that happened that you had to think on your feet and
somebody's wig coming off? Like, somebody's wig coming off on stage, somebody's wig falling off.
Oh, that's, my God,
that's an experience that it only needs to happen one time, you know, because like I say, theater is live, so the hair comes, like, they gonna catch that wig and throw it off the stage, and you gotta. You know, or it slides back so far that, you know, so, and then like when you're doing TV, it's not as bad because they can stop and then you can fix it. But live theater is no, where nobody can run off stage and, you know.
Do you be watching movies and stuff and like noticing the hair shifts and stuff like that?
Hair shifts, the back of it, jacking up. And, I can name a few movies, but I won't. Since we already,
I'll name one. Shoot, Tyler Perry's what's that movie? A Fall from Grace. Oh my gosh, the hair and the makeup in that thing had me just cringing. I was just so upset.
Like, how did they not have that guy's hair so shiny? You could see all the shine under the wig.
It was so bad. And then
Matte glue.
do better, Tyler Perry. Okay, that's all I gotta say. Because even with the makeup, one girl, she, I think her everything else was like my complexion, but her foundation was literally like almost as black as this microphone. And I was like, how, like, what is going on? That's a whole nother talk about diversity and inclusion and all the crazy things that actors go through on set. I've
Some,
heard.
you know, pay that much attention to when it comes to those little small details. They don't care, they just move on past it, you know.
Those ain't small. That's a big deal.
But some people, but you know, some people, they're into more of the entertainment side, so they don't even pay attention. Like when they came in the house when they were trying to find the girl in the basement, the lady who, if you notice, when she came in, she had dropped her purse and her groceries on the table. When they came back, all that stuff was gone.
Yeah, I pay attention to stuff. Now I'm gonna go back and watch the movie. I be peeping stuff like that all the time. It's like that wasn't there just now, and now that's there. Or in this scene, her lips was glossy, and now it's not glossy. Like I just switched, and it's not glossy. Oh,
When
man.
they have some people, they go, I was watching something recently. I'm not sure if it was one of Tyler Perry's or not, but the guy had one suit on when he came out, and when he went back in the next, they just went into the next room, like opened the door, went into the next room, he had a whole different suit on.
Wow.
And then when he came out, he had a whole nother suit on. But I mean, even back in the day when they did, what's that one with the women, with the three women, the wife, First Wives Club, the one with Bette Miller. That
Yeah,
one,
I remember that movie.
when they do the shoot, when they come out and they're dancing inside the club and then they come out to the street, if you go back and watch that, their shoes change.
Okay, I got one more. Only because I just realized this, like, a month ago, and I've seen this movie a million times. So the Addams Family movie where what's that man's name? Fester. Fester comes back and he's been lost for some years, and he comes back to the family and they're doing their little Vamooshka dance or something like that. When they when they do like the acrobatics, like
You
you
can
can clearly see it's a totally different person. Like they didn't try to like speed it
Can
up to
you?
totally different person. I was like, okay, nobody else know.
Get away with that, but it don't always work.
Don't always work. It was really noticeable though, y'all. Go back and watch it. Oh my gosh. Look, I could talk a hole in your head all day. I want to know before you go though, like I have a few one more major question is like just staying relevant in the industry so long and still getting work and making moves. How like any advice on that? Because you've been in there almost like 30 years, you said.
Continue training. I mean,
Continue training.
you can never know. Like I meet people all the time and say, "Oh, I know this, I know that." And when you ask them to do something, they have no clue. So I mean, one instance I had a young lady I asked to do a non-section perm, from just a basic non-section permanent wave on a wig. It took her 4 hours to do it. But she said she knew what she was doing. So you just have to be, you know, I'm more of a technical person, and it's technical for a reason because I know the outcome. And like when we worked on Legendary, for instance, I would ask for certain things. And so I would say, you know, the team, like, do it how you think. But if I give you instructions, if you say you don't know, and I give you instructions how to do it, don't take the instructions and say, oh, I'm gonna do it this way because the way you're doing it wrong. But if I see you doing it wrong, I'd be like, you know, that's, you know, you should do it this way. They say, like, oh, no, I got it. So for me, I'm the type of person, I'm gonna let you do it and finish it and let you see that it's not right. But then you have to start all over and do it again. Don't get mad with me because I told you, you know, tried to instruct you on what way to go about doing the task, but you thought you knew. So, you know, some grown people, I'm not gonna argue with you, go back and forth. It's like,
You
okay.
just some people got to learn from me, like from failing or by example.
Right. So I was like, I'll let you do it. You know, people come back and say, well, why'd you let me do it when you saw I was doing it wrong? I tried to explain. You said you knew, so I let you go. Well, I'm gonna go back and forth with you before you're grown.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, and all I say is okay. Most people know that know me and they work with me, and they say if I say okay, then they were like, okay, what you say again? Like, no, go ahead and do it your way.
Yeah, ain't no time for back and forth.
Just doing the exercise will teach you. That's how it teaches students too how to do roller tests. It's important to know, understand what on base, off base, because it's like you just never know where this career is going to take you. You just know. So if you don't know just the basics, like finger waving, hand curls, and all those types of things, you can't do any of those things when you're doing. If you don't, you can't do period hair if you don't know your basics. Students, they don't want that. All they know is a wand and a flat iron. And you can't get all those styles. You can't do a finger wave with, a bob. You can't turn that into waves with a wand or a flat iron. It just can't be done. So it's like knowing what on base is and co the consistency of knowing placement, knowing form, shape, silhouettes, all those things. You just, I can go on and on about it, but that's what I say, like, get as much education as you can. Try to go, I try to tell like black students, if you're going into cosmetology, go to a white school. So that way you can learn more, because they're going to focus more on color. They're going to focus more on hair cutting, those types of things that you're not going to get predominant of African American school. Go where you're going to get more out of your education, because you already probably been doing relaxers. Then you know what your texture of hair is. So why go and learn more about your texture then? Because all hair is just like fabric. It's just, you got silks and wools. You just gotta know how to work with it.
I like that analogy. I love that. What do you think your legacy would be, for the industry when it's all said and done?
Creativity.
Innovation.
Creativity, I would say. I like to be motivated to other students and let them see that they all have potential. You just have to unlock, your inner confidence, and because it's enough work for everybody.
Sure is. So true.
But it's just like being consistent and, dedicated to what you're doing. Like, if doing hair is not, it shouldn't be a chore. It should be a passion. If you love what you do, it shouldn't be work. It should be fun at all times. So I tell people, if it's not fun, then you shouldn't be doing it. If you don't wake up thinking about dreaming hair, then it's a chore for you. So it's like, why are you doing
Do you have anything that's coming up next that you could share with us?
No, other than I'll be getting my barbering license soon. And
Yay.
hopefully we'll see what happens when we go back, when it's time to go back to work. But other than that, I probably will start doing, in January, I'm gonna start back doing advanced training, though.
Okay. And you also have a book or ebook or something, right?
An ebook,
Okay.
How to become, how to become a union stylist or something like
Okay.
So that's that. And then I'll be doing some Zoom classes on that, just doing like breaking down a little bit more, and actually doing some trainings on like styling wigs and synthetic wigs.
Okay.
Lot of people say, they know how to do it or they've done it, and it's like I watch it and it's like, what's that?
They learned from YouTube University, somebody that wasn't a professional.
Right, yeah. But I got so many. That's why I say it's like I don't claim to be, because there's so many people on YouTube claiming to be a celebrity, and it's like, or they're claiming to be excellent, like an educator, and they've never gone to school, don't even know how to teach or proper terminology, you know, to I'm like, how are you teaching anything? It's like, I see, and that's why I think so many young ladies now have such a great hair loss, because of inexperienced and uneducated people applying units, applying wigs, you know, damaging their follicles and poor, you know, putting plastering, like closing off their follicles and not breathing, and then they, you know, pull it off, and it's like, I've seen so many young ladies with glue all over their scalp, and it's just like,
that makes so much sense.
How does it make, it doesn't make any sense to, you know, so yeah.
That makes so much sense. Like, there is like a rise in the loss of edges lately, like Solly's lace front.
Yeah, because everybody want to put got to be glued and this and that. They don't understand what follicle damage is, folliculitis, and all those, you know, putting it on and the hair is wet and growing on their scalp and all these disorders. And so they just keep covering it up by putting quick weaves and glue all over their head. And
that's crazy. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. But this has been a great conversation. I don't want to hold you too long, but I have to ask you the Friends of Beauty rapid fire questions before you go. So whatever comes out, just spit it out and I'm going to let you go. So the first one, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Consistency, promptness, and precision.
Ooh, okay. How do you measure your success?
A recognition from my peers.
I like that. Yeah. What's the best advice you've ever received, or a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
Always stay humble.
I like that. Yeah, you do that so well. We know. What advice would you give to another, maybe shy or introverted creative who's just ready to give up because they're not seeing the results they want in the industry? They think they got to be all
Always let your work show for itself. Your work should enter the room before you do.
Ooh, I love that. What is a resource that helps you in your business that you could share with the Friends and Beauty community?
Understand how to do research. Proper research, you know. Don't just pick the first thing you go to Google and see. Like, really dive deep into your research. I think that's where a lot of people lose sight on when they're creating things and understanding. So they just pull up the first thing, like on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia is just things that people have placed on the internet. So, like, sometimes you can't always go with what you see when you're doing research. You can't just go what you see on Google. Sometimes you got to go into a book. Go old school, go to a book, go to a library and do some real research. Go to art galleries to get references from paintings, and because those are where the real, like when you're doing a real period, like when you're doing like 1800s and things like that, that's where the real artwork comes in, not from what someone conceptualized as their version. If you want to tell the story, you want to tell the true story, because people, historians or people that go watch movies, you're telling a story through your artwork.
I like that. This is the last one, so I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is, personally.
Key to longevity and success is being honest with your clients and yourself. Yeah. Don't tell somebody you know how to do something when you don't.
Okay. I love that. Honesty is key. Before you go, share your social media or however you want people to connect with you and, you know, stay updated on what you got going on.
It's Greg_Bazemore, Bazemore. And that's on Instagram. And it's Greg Bazemore. That's a black and white logo on there for Facebook.
Okay. Thank you so much, Greg, for sharing with us.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe. Rate and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.